Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Are You Guarding Against Envy?
God's grace, His mercy, His salvation, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, it's Palm Sunday, and we're continuing our sermon series on the seven deadly sins, and today we're at the deadly sin of envy. Why would I choose envy to talk about on Palm Sunday? Why did that one fit in the best into Palm Sunday? I'll show you why over here in Mark chapter 15, we read that when Jesus went to the cross and he was, was about to go there, and Pilate was standing before the crowds, we read there beginning in verse 6. Now at the feast, Pilate used to release for the Jews one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas, and the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he was accustomed to do for them. And he answered them, Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews, referring to Jesus? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. So I thought, this is the greatest one for Palm Sunday, because the very reason Jesus went to the cross, that the chief priests and scribes charged him and tried to kill him, it says here, was out of envy. Deadly, deadly sin, envy. So let's talk about envy today. What it is, how deadly is it, how can we conquer it, and how did Jesus conquer envy for us? Let's talk about that. And so, first of all, what is envy? How can we define it? I'm going to read to you Webster here, part of it. It says, It's a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Nice job, Webster. I'll try to say it a little more easily. It's a painful, agitated, annoyed state of mind and heart where someone's got something that you want and you don't got it. And you want it. Envy can't stand to have anybody superior to itself. Envy does not want anybody else to have more than you got. Envy says, you get it. And envy then is a resentful, dissatisfied longing for another person's possessions or their fortune or their positions or their achievements or their success or their good looks. Envy is basically to want what belongs to somebody else. And so how does it differ, by the way, as an aside here, from jealousy? They're kind of like sisters or brothers, jealousy and envy. But jealousy is, I don't want you to get what I got. Namely, I have a beautiful wife. Don't come getting what I have. I'd be jealous. But envy is trying to get what somebody else has that you want, and you can't stand them having it and you not having it. So there's a little difference there. They're close. But what does envy go after? What can you envy, actually? Everything, basically. You can say, I want that person's good looks. I can't stand that person's better looking than I am. That person gets better grades at school. I can't stand that they always get better grades than myself. You could envy another person's position. They are higher in the company than I am. I should be there, not them. I should be over them. They have greater success than I do. I envy them. Their achievements, I envy. Their athleticism, I envy. Their youth, I envy. Their spouse, I wish I had. And things like that. So envy is always like, I want to get what the other person has. I can't stand to be inferior and them superior. So envy is ultimately the exaltation of the self. The self just, which goes back to the original sin, ever since Adam, wants to be number one, wants to be God, wants to be at the top, the chief, the big cheese, superior. Can't stand to have anything above it. So envy is born out of that. can't stand to have somebody else higher than you are getting stuff that you don't have. Do you guys have any envy in your hearts? Now, how does envy deal with this? Envy, interestingly enough, is just as happy with two different scenarios. The first scenario is it can scheme to and get what the other person has and rob it from the other person and get above them. Envy thinks that'll be great. Or envy is just as happy if you don't get what the other person has, but they lose it and they come to complete calamity. You envied their money and they get a horrible business decision and they lose their wealth and they're broken on the streets. Envy's like, good, I'm above them again. So envy is afraid of being less because another person is more. Envies everything that the person has and is never satisfied with position two, wants to be superior position one. So all the other seven deadly sins so far we've had different animals for, right? We had the peacock for pride, we had the pack rat for greed, we had the dancing cobra for lust, we had the pig for gluttony, we had the sloth for sloth. What do you think we should choose for envy? What animal would relate to envy? Friends, in considering this, we have to go outside of the physical realm. There is no animal that can possibly describe envy. This is the most sinister, foul creature. We have to call it the green-eyed monster. Look at these green eyes, sinister, and you can see its intent is always to kill the person who has envy as well as everybody around. That's why the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw Jesus could do this and had that popularity and had that they didn't have, the green-eyed monster raged in them, and let's kill him, crucify him, crucify him. We must kill him and get on top. The green-eyed monster is a sinister killer and a murderer. It lurks about in darkness, and it is only really found not in the animal realms. We can't even find an animal. You've got to either go to man or to fallen angels or Satan to find the green-eyed monster. So we'll call it the green-eyed monster today. Can you say green-eyed monster?
Green-eyed.
Is there a green-eyed monster lurking in you? Is it anywhere in your heart? Well, what's God say to us about envy, the green-eyed monster that is in his word? Well, he says a number of things here. Let's look at, for example, Mark 7. The first thing it is, God says, is pure, unadulterated evil. Evil, evil, evil. For Jesus says, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. And he lists a number of them. Deceit, licentiousness, envy, he says, etc. All these evils come from within and they defile a man. Do you have envy in your heart today? If there is, I don't think there is, but maybe there is. It's pure, unadulterated evil. Don't have anything to do with the green-eyed monster. Secondly, it is so bad, actually, that it made it into the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? It's in the ten, the top ten?
Yeah.
Top ten countdown. Well, we have in Exodus 20, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Or as manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. You can see it's saying, I want this man's wife. She's better than mine. I want this woman's husband. He's better than mine. His house is better. I want this one. I covet. It's envy. And God says, that's the top ten. I made it in there. It's evil. Thirdly, God says in his word, it will eat you alive, this monster, envy, your own heart, and it'll kill other people. Because we read here in Proverbs 14, verse 30, says, God says, a peaceful mind gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. So if you have envy in your heart, it's going to eat you. It's a creature that devours. Do you want to die? Then welcome the green-eyed monster. It'll kill you and eat you from within. And the strange thing, of all the other deadly sins, lust, pride, greed, they all have an element of pleasure to them, don't they? Fleeting and deceptive, but there is some pleasure to those other sins. Envy gives you no joy ever from beginning to end. It just eats and devours you. It makes your bones rotten. Fourthly, God says it is devilish. If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, says James, don't boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. The word for devilish in the Greek there is daimoniotes, daimon, demon. It is of the demons. If you have envy in your heart, you are saying, in a sense, you are a brother and cousin to fallen, foul, dark, evil, shadowy spirits. And you will dwell in your spirit in their gloomy palaces, in their shadow lands, in their dark castles, in the land of gloom and deep darkness. So God says it is of the devil. Fifthly, it leads to wars, strifes, fightings, divisions, killings, murdering, and death. For what causes wars? What causes fightings among you, says James? Isn't it your passions at war in your members? You desire, and you do not have. And so you covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. Unfaithful creatures. So it will kill. It divides everything up. It's a killer. It will land you ultimately in hell. The ultimate devastation if you hold it fast in your heart. For the works of the flesh, says Paul, are plain. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, etc. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you hold fast to envy and let it consume you and let it live in your heart, you won't be saved. You're not going to get into the kingdom if you're an envious person giving into it. And then also, as bad as this green-eyed monster is, guess what? Ecclesiastes 4:4 says, how prevalent is it in the world? Well, then I saw, says Solomon, that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is a vanity and a striving after wind. Is that true? Solomon says that all the efforts, all the energies, all the achievements and workings of man is simply because he envies his neighbor. That's why he works so hard. Consider sports. I want to be the number one Super Bowl champ or NBA Finals trophy guy. Why? Because I don't want them to have more than I got. I want to get to the top. Now, not all sports guys do that, but it drives most men. In school, oh, that person's better looking than I am. Oh, hey, has better grades. I remember when I was in high school, my best friend Eric Mattson, he's like ended up 6'4", looked like a blonde Superman, basically. He always got better than I did on every test. I remember having some envy there. I was like, I was a good student. I get 90. What'd you do, Eric? 95. I'm like, oh, I'm going to try harder. Next time I get a 95, what'd you get? 100. Next time I got 100, and I'm like, he can't beat me now. Well, I got 105. I got the bonus question, too. I'm like, oh, you can't beat this guy. Envy. You want to be on the top. In business and money, I mean, think of Wall Street. It's Warren Buffett, you know, the great business tycoon and Wall Street guru, says it's not greed that drives the world, but envy. It's not that you just want to get. It's you want to get more than what the other person has. You want to get what they got and be on top, says Warren Buffett. And in your own neighbors, you got to keep up with the Joneses, right? My house next door, they got a boat. Well, I got to get a boat. I got to get a better boat than they have. You know, they have a lakeshore house. I want to get one on the ocean or whatever it is. I got to be on top. And it can even happen in churches. I've heard of Fortune 500. Well, there's a Fame 500 too. I've heard of stories of, I think even in our denomination, I've heard a story where there's a pastor who had a vicar, an intern, and the guy was nervous and the pastor was all smiles, all encouragement. Don't worry, you can do it. All helpfulness. The vicar got up there and just blew it on the first sermon. It was a disaster. Oh, it's okay, says the pastor. It's okay. I'll teach you. So he starts teaching him how to be a better preacher. The vicar gets the hang of it. After about a month or so, he's preaching better than the preacher, than the pastor. And all of a sudden, the green-eyed monster forms in the pastor. Oh no, this vicar is getting more praise than I am, and I'm the pastor here. And he then sought to destroy him. So you've heard the phrase green with envy? Well, it's the green-eyed monster. Beware of the green-eyed monster. For all toil and all skill and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor, says the Bible. So, do we see that in the Bible too?
Yeah.
And what are the, are we right in saying that envy creates divisions, wars, hatred, bitterness, killings, murder, and death? Is that right?
Yes.
Let's take a look here. Satan. First example, Isaiah 14 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer! You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God, set my throne on high. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll make myself like the Most High. But you're brought down to Sheol, says God, to the depths of the pit." So what formed inside of Satan? Why did he rebel against God? Envy of the glory of God. I want what he's got. I'm not satisfied with my position. I want to be above and superior to God. Did this come into Adam and Eve too? "You shall be like God," whispered the serpent into Eve's ear. And they both bit of the forbidden fruit because they envied God's position. So sin and death all came into man through envy. How about right after them? Cain and Abel. Was that a good situation? Would you like to be in that brotherhood? Well, in the course of time, they both brought offerings to the Lord. Cain of the fruit of the ground and Abel from the firstlings of the flock. And God had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Probably not offered in faith. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Green eyes. And God says, "Sin is couching at the door for you, Cain. You must master it." And Cain said to Abel, his brother, "Let's go out into the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. The first murder from the green-eyed monster in Cain. Did it go well after that, though? We got another nice, happy scenarios. You know, if you think about preaching a happy message about families from the pulpit, where are you going to find that in the Bible? Joseph and his brothers, they envied Joseph because his father had given him a very special coat and that he loved him more than all the other brothers. So they hated him and couldn't speak peaceably to him. They envied him and they wanted to kill him, but then they ended up selling him into Egypt as a slave. Rachel and Leah, nice sisters. Rachel saw, though, that she bore Jacob no children, so she envied her sister who was bearing children. It divided sisters, and they couldn't stand each other. Envy. King Saul and David, weren't they partners at the start? They were like this to begin with. David was the champion. King Saul was the king. And it was all going great. Until one day, Saul's watching David return from one of the great victories over the Philistines. And he hears all the maidens, all the young ladies, all the girls singing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And we read that at that moment, Saul became angry and the saying displeased him, and he eyed David from that day on. Which eyes was it? The eyes of green with envy, the monster. And he took a spear and twice tried to thrust it into David, but David twice escaped. Is this even something that touched the disciples' hearts? What do you think? Remember one day Jesus with the disciples were going to Capernaum, and he asked, "So what were you guys discussing on the road?" And there were silence, because while they were on the road, they were discussing which of us is the greatest, who's on top, who's superior. "No, I am! No, I am!" And so Jesus had to say, "Look, it's not how it goes in my kingdom. If you be great, be a servant. If you want to be first, become a slave. That's how it is in my kingdom." Did they learn? Well, just a short time after, they're at the Last Supper. Jesus says, "One of you will betray me," and then they began to all argue which of them was the greatest again. Envy, green eyes, monster, even in the disciples and in our own hearts. Which brings us to Palm Sunday. Jesus and the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees. Pilate said to the Jews, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews, Jesus?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. And they said, "Not this man, we want Barabbas." Why? Because Jesus spoke better than they did. He had power to heal like they didn't. And the people loved him and thronged about him. He was famous and popular, and they say, "That's our position, not his." And they envied him, and they killed him. Mm-hmm. "Crucify him, crucify him. Ask for Barabbas, but put this man on a cross, because we want to be on top. The green-eyed monster, I tell you, envy is a killer. It's a killer in you, it's a killer in me. Let's be very aware of it. The judgment, if you hold it fast, will be hell. If you hold it fast, and Dante, in his Inferno or Paradise Lost, wrote that the envious, those who are green-eyed, envied monsters in their hearts with envy, their punishment, of course, according to his story, was to have their eyes eternally sewn shut with divine wires, since their eyes in their lifetimes envied the prosperity of their neighbors. So let's not go after that one. How can we slay or kill the green-eyed monster envy inside of us? Well, number one, the problem of envy is that Jesus says it's in your heart. It's about an evil heart, right? So the thing we need first is a new heart. Where do you get that? Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest and refreshment. A new heart I will give you," he promised in Ezekiel. "A new spirit I'll put within you. I'll put my own spirit within you and cause me to walk in my statutes and observe my ordinances." So have you come to Jesus? He died for envy. Do you believe on him and ask him to forgive you your sins of envy? Come to him, he says, "Then I will forgive you, and a new heart I'll put inside of you that won't envy." But even having been saved and with a new heart inside of us, don't you still feel it? Because we've that old nature is still lingering inside of us. Though it's not really truly who we are, but it's our old heart is still hanging around. So secondly, pray for help. Say, "God, I'm so sorry. Get this out of me. Help me to look after the good of my neighbor." So seek to help your neighbor, because charity is the opposite of envy. Luther said in the Small Catechism, we should fear and love God so that we don't hurt or endanger our neighbor's life, nor cause him any harm, but help and befriend him in every necessity of life. Help your neighbor to get more. Enjoy his blessings. If you go and help the person that you're envious of to get more than they have now, that is killing the green-eyed monster. And humble yourself. And just go low and be content with where God's put you. God says, if you humble yourself, let me do the exalting. You take the low position. And give thanks. Do you think that can kill the green-eyed monster? What does the green-eyed monster do? I covet, I envy that these people have more blessings than I do. God says, what are you doing counting everybody else's blessings? Count your own. When I'm worried and can't sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings, right? So count your own blessings. Give thanks to God for them. And when you see your neighbor having blessings, start praising God. Oh, I thank you he's a better preacher than I am. I thank you that he's been blessed in these kinds of ways. I'm so rejoicing he has a spouse who loves him like that. This is great. If you praise God for your neighbor's blessings, you've killed the green-eyed monster. And go after love, because love is patient and kind and seeks the good of his neighbor, not his destruction. And after all, let's remember, everything you're envying in this world, after all, is just dust and ashes anyway, right? Do you envy someone's youth? Well, they're not going to be young forever. Their beauty and good looks? Well, that doesn't last forever. Their money? That's going away. Their possessions? You only hold on for a little while. Everything you envy in this world just goes away anyway. It's just dust, ashes, and stupidity, trivial things. So God says, go after, instead in your heart, those things that are eternal, with glories and treasures in the heavens, where in my kingdom, all people will share all things in common, and in love, where you delight in the welfare of your neighbor, because in his welfare you find your own welfare and all rejoice there together. And so let's bring it around to Jesus now. Friends, I'll tell you, we've all failed in this, right? We all have felt envy in our hearts. There is that tendency in each of us, but Jesus was the only pure one. He came to die for our sins. He raised again that we might live, even to save us from envy. For they delivered him up out of envy, but Jesus died for the very people who were even envying him. Remember, Jesus said, "Not my will, God, but thine be done. And I came not to take my life, but to lay it down as a ransom for the souls and for the life of the world." Is that not the destruction of the green-eyed monster? That's what his kingdom is giving up what he has to bless you and me with more. And he has. For God so loved the world, and Jesus loved his people, that he gave up his life on the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he says, "I give you not only my life, I want to bless you with all things. Forever in joy, I delight in your welfare, and we'll all rejoice together." So remember that today when you think of conquering envy. In conclusion then, let's be ever vigilant against the green-eyed monster. Envy is a sneaky one. It is a serial and sinister killer. It's a murderer. Let's kill it instead with the love that comes from the kingdom. Remembering Jesus giving his life for us, that we also lay down our lives to bless and increase the blessings of other people and delighting in that. For Jesus says, "That is what my kingdom is all about." And we're heading to that place up above where there will be no more envy, but just hearts trained in the praise of God with thanks for his blessings to us and the love of one another in the kingdom of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "Are You Guarding Against Envy?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church of Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church. CapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.